The Spider, the Cholera King, 10, Chapter 10. Nita's choice. That mocking laughter echoed also in the ears of Nita Van Sloan, a score of miles away from the scene of Wentworth's torture. For the man in scarlet did not speak from the next room, as it had seemed, but over a telephone hookup with a loudspeaker attachment, connecting the escape-proof cell with his hidden headquarters on Long Island. And Nita, a prisoner, though unbound, sat near the scarlet-clad figure of the man. As he finished jeering at Wentworth, he threw a tumbler which disconnected the telephone hookup and turned the hard bone mask of his face toward her. "There, Miss Van Sloan," came the harsh, high-pitched voice. "Did I not predict that he would walk into that trap like any fool mouse after the cheese? One need only supply the right bait to trap even the spider, my dear." Nita no longer wore the dark silk suit in which she had been clad when she had flown on that ill-fated trip with Wentworth. Her robe was of that exquisite soft blue which she loved so much. "I do not think that I shall repent my bargain, my dear," B said. "If those fools who shot you down had killed you, I should have had them pulled slowly to bits with red-hot pincers." "You will do, of course, whatever you have made up your mind to do," she acknowledged calmly. "You should have learned by now that you can't goad me." The man chuckled and his hands reached out. But they did not touch Nita, though the longing to do so was in the slender, flexible fingers and in those burning eyes. "No, no," he whispered. "I will never touch you until you come willingly into my arms, my dear. And you will do that very soon, I think. Very, very soon." Nita's eyes met his without flinching, without wavering, nor did she shrink one inch from those repulsive fingers. "You are more than mistaken," she said scornfully. "You are a fool." She turned away, hate and anger burning within her, but she took only a step before the man's hand closed on her wrist and whirled her around to face him. "I regret the violence, Miss Van Sloan," he said hissingly. "Beauty, you are mannerly in leaving, and I never could abide impoliteness. I will bother you to accompany me to the phone again, Miss Van Sloan. I have decided to talk with your lover's jailers." The man in scarlet threw the telephone switch. "How is my prisoner behaving?" he asked gently. A hoarse voice answered him. "He seems to be playing some game, master. It looks like tit-tat-toe from where we are." "I want my prisoner to be comfortable." The voice of the man in scarlet was a harsh purr. "Turn on the heat at full force." Nita's even teeth closed on her lip. "It was inhuman." "Report to me every 15 minutes," Nita's captor instructed. Nita choked back the strangled sob that rose to her throat. God in heaven give her strength, for presently she knew this creature would present her a problem for solution. When he had satisfied his cruelty through torturing Dick and that other poor boy, he would give her a choice: Dick's death or her own pass of slavery. Nita's face and poise showed not one atom of the heart-breaking struggle within her, though the pallor of her cheeks might have betrayed her, had she not been pale ever since her capture. The man in scarlet strolled slowly up and down the room, now and then lifting his gaunt arms and slender hands so that his silken sleeves draped back more gracefully. Minutes dragged past and the first quarter hourly report came in over the telephone. "And how are my prisoners doing?" "Carnes has stripped down," the answer came hoarsely. "He's lying on the floor panting. This spider guy ain't even moved. He's sweating like a horse, but he just sits there on the floor playing that damned game." "Turn on still more heat," raged the plague master. The jailer faltered. "Master, there ain't no more. They got it all." "Keep it up," the master ordered. He sprang from his seat and strode restlessly back and forth. Nita clasped her hands in her lap, and kept her eyes lowered. The quarter hours dragged on, and though Carnes was suffering extreme exhaustion, Wentworth had persistently woken on the codes except occasionally when he rose to get water from the lavatory and bathe Carnes' suffering body with a liquid neither of them dared drink. When 20 of those 15-minute reports had been made, the jailer reported that Wentworth had stopped the game. He stretched out flat on his back, smiling at the ceiling. The man grated. "He acts like he'd won $1 million at craps." The plague master pursed his lips, nodded slowly. 5 hours is a very short time for solving my cipher. Apparently, I gave him his first opportunity to work on it." He hung up the phone, turned his bald head toward Nita. "I'm afraid the solution comes a bit too late to be of much service," he chortled. "Well, my dear, let us retire and get a bit of rest. By this time tomorrow, your lover should be feeling a few hunger pangs. But we won't hurry him, nor you, my dear." He rose and bowed with a grotesque grace. "I give you good night, Miss Van Sloan." Nita rose wearily to her feet. She was past thinking back aws of her fatigue, past anything but suffering. She was halfway across the room when the buzzer of the phone whirred venomously as a rattlesnake. She turned about sharply and saw that the plague master was hurrying back to the instrument. He caught up the receiver, dropped into the chair.
Well? What do you say?
The police?
But how in the name of the devil? Of course, I can send reinforcements, within a few moments, but I may decide to let you abandon the place, in which case you will leave by the tunnel.
Yes, hold them off for a few minutes.
You should have grenades and ammunition enough for that.
The master let the receiver hang and twisted about on his chair to face Nita, who stood straight and still in the middle of the room.
Miss Van Sloan, said her captor slowly, with his customary foresight, your lover apparently arranged for a police investigation of his continued absence. They have located one of my smaller headquarters, where I have him prisoner. I think I have explained the situation to you pretty thoroughly. One of two things can be done. I can leave evidence which will prove he is the spider and hence achieve his death in the electric chair. Or I can adjust matters so that when his room is forced, he and everyone else will be blown sky high.
He chuckled, rubbing his long-fingered hands dryly together.
Fortunately, I am able to offer still another alternative. While the forces I have in the building at present aren't powerful to defeat the police, I can send others to drive them away. In that case, Wentworth would continue to live in the cell, or, he looked at her sharply, I could have him brought here for a while, and afterward released on parole, for shall we say, in hostage?
Nita was staring straight before her with a fixity that sent pains through her eyeballs. The tension was in her whole body and she could not ease it. She felt that her face was hard and stiff, too.
It is for you to say, my dear.
The master purred.
Shall I release him and bring him here?
For a while, and then release him with yourself as hostage?
Nita swallowed and tried to part her lips, but no sound came from them.
The plague master came to his feet, moved slowly nearer, lifting his hand so that the silken sleeve slid back from the gaunt forearms.
My dear, he said persuasively, I will do you a single honor. I have said that I will not touch you unless you come to me of your own volition. I will do even more than that. If you so desire, I will marry you.
Laughter bubbled from Nita uncontrollably. It burst apart her sealed lips, shook her body so that she staggered.
Beware, woman, he thundered, lest I withdraw the honor, and make you merely my slave.
Nita clasped her hands before her, white fingers writhing tightly together.
Oh, they were talking while the police fought into that house so far away, where their success meant Dick's death surely whether they found him or only the evidence against him.
She lifted her hands before her as if she prayed.
Speak now.
The master commanded harshly.
If you will marry me, I will spare your lover's life.
Answer, woman.
Nita's hands dropped limply.
Yes, she answered clearly.
You will marry me?
Nita's head tossed back, her lips warping in that smile.
Yes, oh yes.
I give you my promise.
Now, keep yours.
The words were stopped on her mouth by the man's kiss. She felt his arms about her soft body like thin wires of steel, felt those long, limber fingers caress her shoulder. His breath was harsh in his throat when abruptly he whirled away and ran to the phone. Nita staggered back against the piano and with the back of her hand scrubbed her mouth. A shudder shook her whole body, but there was no faltering in the clear courage of her eyes. If she could buy Dick's life, she would count any cost light. She hoped she would. God must make it light. God must help a woman in her sacrifice.
End of chapter 10.